This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for this Tuesday, December the 11th, 2012, episode 549. As you know, Horses in the Morning is now live Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and on Tuesdays and Thursdays, we bring you some highlights from the other shows around the network. And today I have for you the Stable Scoop Radio Show, the annual Rose Parade episode. This is the fourth time that Helena and I have talked to the organizers of the Pasadena Tournament of Roses Parade, and we also talked to one of the groups that's going to be in the parade. This is quite an event. There's 220 horses in this year's Rose Parade, and as you know, it is one of the most elaborate, nicest parades in the world, watched by a million people along the parade route alone, and almost 10 million people around the world tune in to the Rose Parade. So we have the highlights from that. As far as the equestrians are concerned, how they do it, how they set it up, what they have to do the night before to get ready, we cover all of that for you in this episode coming up. Don't forget, Really Bad Ads this Friday is a pair of hose nozzles from HydraTea. That's what you'll win if you pick out the best of the worst Really Bad Ads. And you can find out more about HydraTea hose nozzles by going to Hydro, H-Y-D-R-O-T, the letter T, .com. Also, if you'd like to leave us a holiday voicemail that we'll play on the air, it's 270-803-0025, 270-803-0025. We hope that you leave us a voicemail and we'll play them before the holidays. And as far as tomorrow morning is concerned, here on Wednesday morning on Horses in the Morning, we will be back tomorrow. We have Christy Lee Cook, American Idol Christy Lee Cook, and also Horse Girl. Jennifer worked hard to secure this interview through her agent, and we hope she shows up tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, so tune in then. Plus, we have the top 10 holiday songs for you. Last week, we gave you the bottom 10, the worst of the holiday songs, the crappiest holiday songs, and this week, we're going to give you the best and our favorites as well. So right after this word by Stable Comfort by ProMat, we will bring you the annual Rose Parade episode with Helena and I on the Stable Scoop Radio Show, episode number 225.
Hey folks, Coach Jen here from the Horse Tip Daily Show. All of us as horsemen mull over our horses' nutrition and stress out over their stress level and fret about their fitness. But when is the last time you puzzled over your horse's lounging and sleeping comfort? Research has shown us over and over that quantity as well as quality of rest and sleep are crucial for top athletic performance as well as overall well-being. Enter Stable Comfort by ProMat. Stable Comfort mimics the characteristics of natural pasture, providing a safe, clean, and comfortable surface for your horse. Its wall-to-wall waterproof design gives your horse confidence to walk, lie down, and get back up without fear of slipping. And as a bonus, less bedding is required and results in fewer labor hours to clean stalls. Head on over to StableComfort.com and find out why champions like Nick Skelton, Mary King, and Chris Cox use Stable Comfort by ProMat systems for their equine athletes.
Welcome to the Stable Scoop, with weekly shows delivered right to you. With Helena and Glenn the Geek, live from the stable, it's every week. They're bringing the news through hail or high water, while using their tails as their own fly swatters. Sit on down and laugh till your poop, cause it's time again for Stable Scoop. Stable Scoop. Stable Scoop. stable scoop.
I am Glenda Geek.
And I'm Helena B. And you're listening to the Stable Scoop Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network.
I love this part. It's that time of the year. It's time for the annual Rose Parade episode. We've been doing this every year for a number of years now, talking about the Rose Parade out in Pasadena, California on January the 1st. And why do we talk about it, Helena?
I don't know.
Horses everywhere. 220 horses this year in the Rose Parade.
Wow. Is that a record number?
I don't think so. We'll find out. We're going to be talking to the lady who's organizing all of those horses here in just a minute, but let's just listen some more because I'm getting okay. In the mood.
I know.
It's a Pasadena City College Honor Band. They play every year.
Are we going this year? We need to go.
She asked in her email to us if we were coming, and I said, we haven't found anybody to pay our way.
Hint, hint.
Well, there you go. That's the Pasadena City College Honor Band. They play every year at the Rose Parade. You know, when I was looking around at the videos, there were tons of the bands that are going. It's a huge, huge deal. Bands, you know, they send in applications to get accepted at parades from high schools and colleges and things. And you have to be chosen. And to be chosen for the Rose Bowl Parade is like the Super Bowl for bands. That is the ultimate. Everybody wants to be chosen
for
that.
Yes. It's like the prom.
That's right.
Super Bowl for bands, the prom for girly girls, the Olympics for athletes. Yeah, it's the big guns, right?
Yeah, and I can't tell you how many bands were posting videos of them practicing for the Rose Bowl Parade. They would post their practice videos. So that was kind of cool, too.
Well, it's a process. You know, it takes a lot of effort. I mean, you have to be really good to get to this parade. They don't take chump bands. Just saying.
Were you in a band?
I was in the marching band. Yes, the hat that I had to wear. Like, I had to wear those really tall, like, there's a name for them, but I forget. Hat with a feather on top. It was bigger than me.
What did you play?
The flute.
You know, it's so funny, too, when you say that, because Helena, for those that are new listeners, is height disadvantaged.
Hey!
And she's about 5 foot two and three quarters. And did I get that right?
You get that right, yes.
So, see, I always say 5 foot two, and she corrects me, but I'm learning now. But you were the one, as you're watching the parade, and everybody's marching by, and the band's going by, and, you know, you see the tops of the hats, and then in the middle of the row, there's a hat that's 2 feet lower than everybody else's. That was
that
Helena.
Was well, that's why they put me in the front row. I mean, I played the flute, so I was in the front row anyway, but I got to play, like, first flute when I was in marching band.
Now, did you have to double time to keep up with your little legs? No, you kind of sort of do short steps anyway for the band.
Yeah, it's mostly they're marching steps, so I don't remember that being a challenge. I just remember trying not to laugh. We had this drum section that was hysterical. They were just really funny, and they were a bunch of goofballs. And I would miss my notes because I'm cracking up at them doing all kinds of crazy things. And because sometimes they would put me on the end, you know, they would put like the taller people in the center, and then the smaller people would as the front row would go to the outside of the band. They would put me on the end, and then they would have, like, the guys with the drums would be alongside of us. And I just remember, like, trying desperately not to laugh. And it was so much fun. I was really bummed when I had to make a decision between marching band and the swim team. But
you did a lot of people don't know is you did a lot of sports. You were a real athlete in addition to the band.
Yeah, I did pretty good. I did everything except for tennis and soccer.
I mean, you were really into rugby, right?
Oh, God, Glenn, lacrosse.
Lacrosse. Why do I get those two mixed up all the time?
I don't know.
Okay, lacrosse. In fact, you were really into lacrosse, right?
I'm so offended that you can't remember rugby is so not lacrosse.
I know, but I could see you playing rugby, too. You'd get in there and beat the crap out of me.
No, I wouldn't. I don't like violence. I mean, you know, no.
Oh, they can do some body checking in lacrosse, too.
Not women's lacrosse. It's a finesse sport. It's a finesse. No, it's not about beating anybody up. No,
what fun is that?
What?
Well, I said, what fun is that?
Oh, God, you're such a boy. You really are.
I used to hate it because I had a girlfriend that was into field hockey. And, you know, field hockey could be an exciting sport if we took the refs out and their damn whistles away. Because yeah. there's just a penalty every 2 seconds.
Well, you know, at the lower levels, or, you
no,
know.
Let them swack level. Each other with the sticks. Let them have some fun.
Then you'd be left with like two players on the field. How just... fun would that be?
There are a lot of penalties in field hockey, though.
Yeah, well, there's a lot in lacrosse, too. But it's the idea is to not hit your opponent with a stick. I mean, I think that's like some kind of martial arts thing.
Now, didn't your daughter take up lacrosse?
Yes, and she plays. When I was young, they didn't have youth lacrosse for girls, but now they do.
They do now, yeah.
So she started in first grade, and now she's in fourth grade. So she's really picking up some skills. She's good.
Let's get on with the show. We have a fun one planned for today. We have Pamela Knapp coming up later. She is the director and committee chair for the Equestrian Committee for the Pasadena Tournament of Roses Parade. And then also, we have a group that we have spoken to before, but they're the first time they're going. So we're going to hear about their excitement, and that is the Canadian Cowgirls. We had them on the show here once before. Terry Jenkins is going to join us and tell us all about their excitement and how they're preparing for their first time at the Tournament of Roses Parade. We have our first guest. We're excited to bring to you, and she's taking time out of her busy schedule only three and a half weeks ahead of the Rose Parade, and that's Pamela Knapp. As I said, she's director and committee chair of the Equestrian Committee of the Pasadena Tournament of Roses. Well, hi, Pam. Thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule only a few weeks away from the parade to join us. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoy speaking with you every year.
Well, now, tell us a little bit, before we get into the parade, a little bit about, you guys all work on committees. This is a volunteer group, and you really do take a lot of time out of your life to help put this parade together.
Yes, the Tournament of Roses is 935 active volunteers who work year-round to put on the Rose Bowl game, the Rose Parade, and all of the events that surround what we fondly call our hometown festival, but it's really a worldwide festival, welcoming the world to Pasadena. So, yeah, we give up a lot of time, but it's a lot of fun.
Does it feel like a hometown thing, like the prep work? I would imagine like all the work that goes into the days before. Does it have a hometown feel before you open it up to the world?
It does. I mean, you know, you're working in a community where everybody gets to know each other. And, you know, we're not a small town. We're a big town. But we all are out there doing things like float decorating and working with the horses and putting, you know, football things together, media-related events. We've got everybody comes from out of town for both of the football teams. So we have a huge onslaught of people over about a 5-day period of time, and they become part of our hometown. And it's just one big happy party. A lot of fun.
Well, now you're the director and committee chair of the Equestrian Committee. Were you on other committees? Do you rotate, or do you get one assignment, pretty much stick with it for years? How's that work?
We are assigned in 2-year increments. This is my 22nd year with the Tournament of Roses.
Oh, wow.
And I am now a director and chairman, and I chaired the Equestrian Committee last year and this year, and then I'll move on to something else next year. And I don't know what that is yet, but I will chair another committee next year, and somebody else will take this job. So it makes it a lot of fun. You're not always doing the same thing, and we try really hard to give people opportunities to do things that aren't in their normal world. We don't want to make an accountant do all accounting. During Tournament of Roses time, we want them to have fun doing something that they wouldn't normally do. So we get a lot of knowledge, and we learn a whole lot about things we never thought we would ever know about.
Well, you can only go down from here, wouldn't you agree, Helena? Once you've done the horse thing, you're done. I mean, you might as well just quit now.
That's the pinnacle of the Rose Parade, of course. Never mind the floats.
Yeah, who cares about them?
In my opinion, absolutely. It is my absolute all-time favorite committee. This is my second go-round. I was a vice chairman on Equestrian before, and when I was asked to chair the committee, I was so excited. I can't tell you. It is truly the most fun committee. And it's mainly because of the people and the horses. The people are the most down-to-earth people you'll ever work with. They're so accommodating. They're so excited to be here. Horses and horse people love a parade. And, you know, what better parade for them to be involved with? So it's
It's really true. We love a parade. We want to show off our horses.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we're used to getting up at the crack of dawn to braid and brush and gloss and detangle and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, well, we make it even more fun for them because we have them arrive between 9 and midnight on New Year's Eve. So they don't get to go out and party. And then we get them up between 3 and 4 in the morning and have them start preparing their horses for the parade. Some stay up all night, but and then we bring them up to the parade route starting about 6 o'clock in the morning, and then the parade kicks off at 8. So it's a pretty well-oiled machine. We've been doing it for a long time. This is the 124th Rose Parade this year. So, you know, we think we have it down pat pretty well.
How do you select the equestrian units that are going to be? Now, I'm looking at this year's, you know, we've been talking about this parade every year. Now we do this annual episode on it. And, I see some that have been in every year forever. And then you have a bunch of new ones, though, this year. So how do they apply, or do you go after them? How's that work?
Well, we have an application process. It starts usually in February or March. There's an online application that they can get at the Tournament of Roses website. The application deadline, I believe, is May 15th. And then between May and the end of June, we have a selection committee that I chair, and we work with the president of the tournament, and in this case, it's a woman this year, so her theme. And we look at her theme, and we look at the applicants. The parade organizers tell us approximately how many units we can select, and there's a lot of things that go into how we select the number of units. It depends on how many float sponsors we have. It depends on how many bands we have. We try to get the whole parade on TV in a two-hour time frame, so and we know that horses don't slow down a parade, so we always have some flexibility with the horses, which we don't have with some of the floats and the bands. But we take all that into consideration, and we make our selections based on that, and we make our recommendations to the president, and the president agrees or doesn't agree, generally agrees. And then we notify them usually in August. And between August and December is when they're raising all their money and getting themselves prepared for the big day.
Wow. And, you know, this is something, too, with I've been in parades before in carriages and things, and you said, something you said caught my ear, that horses don't slow down a parade. No, it's just the opposite. As a matter of fact, some of the horses have trouble with how slow a parade actually goes and the stopping, and, you know, that sometimes, that becomes more of an issue for the horses than they would rather keep going.
Oh, they would, and we have some contingency plans in place. You know, if a float is broken down or a float is stopped for any reason, we have them do maneuvers so that they're not just standing in place. You know, every group has some different maneuvers they can do, and so they'll do figure eights or whatever needs to be done to keep their horses happy. But on the other side of that, we do have from time to time horses that can't make it the whole way, and we have emergency plans in place, and we work with the Humane Society and some local veterinarians and farriers, and we have a pretty well-oiled machine. So safety is absolutely the most important thing that we do, is ensure that everybody who participates and everybody who is a spectator is safe.
Have you ever received applications for horses to participate in the parade that are rejected? I know it's not really a happy subject, but I'm just interested in, and not rejected as in, oh my God, you know, no way, you like, we would never, but you know, there's a very fine set of criteria that, and you probably want to accept way more than you can. So they're limited,
right.
But what, like, Do you get like letters from
it,
people?
It's like, yeah. Oh, we do. I mean, you know, I wish I could say it's all happy because we have 21 units this year. One of them is a one horse unit, so we have 21 units in the parade. And some of the standards that we always accept are typically the Marine Corps because they carry the colors. We like to include the Army for obvious reasons. You know, they do a lot. They're the only active duty horse cavalry still in action in the United States. And so we try to include them every year. And there's a couple of others that we include every year. But we had about 50 applications this year.
Wow.
And we accepted 21. So when you talk about rejection, we're not intentionally rejecting anybody. Every horse group has its wonderful points. But it's a formula it changes from year to year. Our theme this year is Oh, the Places You'll Go, from the Dr. Seuss theme. And we tried really hard to find units that met that theme. We have one guy that's coming from Siberia. And riding horseback and throat singing down the parade route. That's Ondar. And his Eagles of Tuva. He has got a national champion wrestler that will walk alongside him, and they'll do some wrestling moves. So that's kind of fun. Not a traditional equestrian. We have the Canadian Cowgirl Chicks, which we're thrilled about. They're coming from across the border. They're bringing their horses across the border, which is rare. Most units that come from out of the area don't typically bring their horses. They usually rent horses. So that is huge. And the Canadian Cowgirls have been talking to me since long before the application process this year, because their fundraising needs are so great. And we're so excited that they're coming. We have the
I just wanted to mention real quick that we're going to have them on next, right after you. They're coming on to talk about their excitement and what they've been doing to prepare.
That's great. They've been doing a lot, and I'm so impressed with all they've done. So we're really excited that they're coming. We have a group coming from Hawaii. Obviously, they're not trucking their horses over. So they're actually coming, and they're renting horses. So there's a wide variety of types of groups, and we have a lot of the standards. Really exciting that we just found out, in the Spirit of the West, which is a group that's been with us for a long time, Phil Spangenberger is the marshal, and he has just been asked to ride Silver from the upcoming Lone Ranger movie with Johnny Depp.
Oh, is he going to ride? Really?
So
in the parade?
Silver will be in the parade, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
So Spirit of the West, look at Spirit of the West, and Silver will be there. So, those kinds of things come together later in the year as we get closer. But, that we love having people from all over the place, and we love having new groups because they bring a new enthusiasm and a new invigoration to what we do.
And
it's not just the parade.
Well, I wanted to mention, too, we can't forget the one group that's been there since the beginning in 1890, and that was the Valley Hunt Club, because this was really started as by the Valley Hunt Club, wasn't it, as a hunt sort of thing?
It was actually a way to advertise to the world what we had here in Pasadena. And it was mostly, Pasadena was really founded by a lot of East Coast and Midwestern families who came here during the cold winter months to build a second home, because the weather and the climate was so much more favorable to their health needs and just their overall well-being. And so they would come and come out here, and they wanted to get more people out here. And so they decided, let's have a festival of roses. And it ended up being the Tournament of Roses. And it didn't start out as a parade as much as it was a festival of tug of war and ostrich races and elephant races and chariots dressing up and carriages dressing up with flowers and driving around town in their Sunday finest. And after about 5 or 6 years, the Valley Hunt Club just couldn't handle it anymore, and so the Tournament of Roses was born out of that organization. And we've been running this thing ever since, and been a lot of fun. So the Valley Hunt is in again. They haven't been in every year, but they've been in for several years in a row now, and they're
Do
right
they
across
bring their
the
hounds
street from
or?
Our headquarters.
They don't bring the hounds, do they?
They don't. I think they're primarily a tennis club now. So I've not seen too many fox and hounds over at the Valley Hunt Club. But it's pretty busy over there, but it's usually more of the tennis ball variety.
That's funny.
But the other thing that is fun about bringing new groups in is EquestFest, because every year, a couple days before the parade, this year it's on the 29th, we have EquestFest at the Los Angeles Equestrian Center, and all of the participants in the parade come and put on a show. And they get to do what they do other than ride in a parade. They get to perform. They get to do their trick riding. They get to, in the case of Ondar, the singing horseman is going to sing. The Hawaiian group, they're going to do some hula dancing. It's really a lot of fun.
All right, Glenn.
I know, it's so equestrian, isn't it?
No, it is, because you know what? I'm like probably the only person in the whole world who could put hula dancing and horses together and think that would be awesome.
I, you know, and they're actually riding in memory of the Cook family, and you know, the Cooks were the founders of the Hawaiian Islands, and so they are riding in memory. Leala Cook is the daughter of the founder of this group, the Hawaii Pa'u Riders, and so they're coming over to ride in memory of her mother, and you know, it's a great story, and so we wanted them to participate, but they're not bringing their horses, obviously, and so we're going to have them participate in a different way at a Quest Fest. But it's fun. It's a great, fun, entertaining day. It's actually broadcast live on RFD-TV, so people can watch it anywhere they are in the country on the 29th, and if they want to come out, and they're here in Southern California, we want them to come out to the show because we have food, and we have vendors there, and we actually open up the barns after the show, and you can go back and meet the horses and meet the equestrians, and it's such a family fun day. You can't tell that I like this or anything. You know,
no, it sounds like a real
bummer. Yeah, hard job you've got.
I'm really sad that I'm not going to be doing it next year.
Before we let you go here, I know you have another meeting to run to. Big surprise there. There's a group that's going to be there that I met some of their horses, and let me tell you what, they're an unbelievably large group, and that's the Jackson Fork Ranch Percherons.
Yes.
These Percherons, Helena, are enormous. I mean, they had some that are approaching 19 hands. They're just huge. And what a neat group to watch. They're going to be a fun new entry into the parade this year.
Mm. They are. You know, Budweiser and the Clydesdales stopped participating 2 or 3 years ago. And when the Clydesdales disappeared from the parade, I can't tell you how the fans were so disappointed. Oh. And so we looked long and hard for another group that we thought could match or be even better than those Clydesdales, and this is what we've come up with. So Jackson Fork and the Percherons are going to be tremendous additions to the parade.
If I remember right, most of his Percherons are black, so they make a really, really snazzy team.
They do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they do. They're so stunning and striking and
huge.
and huge. Yeah. I mean, I'm not a tall person. I'm only 5'1", so I'm really excited to be next to one of these horses.
Well, and then you have another breed that we've talked about a lot on this show, and it's one of Helena's eyes favorites, if we don't have to take care of them and do the brushing. And that is you have the, you know who I'm going to talk about too, don't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's the Gypsy Cob group. Where are they from?
Actually, the Gypsy Cob group came to us from Southern California. There is a little town called Acton, but the owner actually lives in England, and so the co-owners. So the owner is in England and here, and it's a breeding program that started a long time ago, and it's the Estee Farm Gypsy Cob, and their horses are incredible, but you're right. It's like having that dog in your house that you have to brush all the time. Now, what, multiply it times 150 and you got to brush that all the time? I mean, it's incredible. Those horses have incredible coats and are just beautiful. So I'm really excited to see them.
Well, Pam, we know you have to go. Thank you so much, Pamela Knapp, Director and Committee Chair of the Equestrian Committee, for the Rose Parade. Good luck. We'll be watching.
We'll be watching.
Thank you. Thanks, was great,
Pamela.
Talking to you. Thanks.
All right.
Take
bye.
Care.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, folks. Coach Jen here from the Horse Tip Daily Show. All of us as horsemen mull over our horses' nutrition and stress out over their stress level and fret about their fitness. But when is the last time you puzzled over your horse's lounging and sleeping comfort? Research has shown us over and over that quantity as well as quality of rest and sleep are crucial for top athletic performance as well as overall well-being. Enter Stable Comfort by ProMat. Stable Comfort mimics the characteristics of natural pasture, providing a safe, clean, and comfortable surface for your horse. Its wall-to-wall waterproof design gives your horse confidence to walk, lie down, and get back up without fear of slipping. And as a bonus, less bedding is required and results in fewer labor hours to clean stalls. Head on over to StableComfort.com and find out why champions like Nick Skelton, Mary King, and Chris Cox use Stable Comfort by ProMat Systems for their equine athletes.
Hi, Glenn here with the Horse Radio Network, and I'm here with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
Today I'm going to be featuring a bridle called the Tecna Synthetic Dressage Bridle with Removable Flash. But what I really want to feature is the entire Tecna line. These are synthetic bridles, but I'm telling you what, you can't even tell them from leather until it comes time to clean them. My trainer, I had a synthetic bridle on my horse, and he was riding it, and he kept saying, "Are you sure this isn't leather? It's that nice." They're soft, pliable, easy to work with, and easy to clean, and only $60 for a bridle that you can use virtually all the time. I probably wouldn't use it in the show ring, but any other time, it's absolutely the bridle to use. I use it all the time. I put it on a tack hook, and I hose it down when I'm done, and it's ready to go for the next time. And it comes in both a snaffle bridle, a dressage bridle, and several other items. I got the flash attachment with the little, thing that you can put a flash on a snaffle bridle. And if you need a flash for the day, you can, voila, you have that bridle too. I highly recommend this entire line. They also have saddles, which are as well synthetic. Love the Tecna line. Give it a shot.
So you can find all of the Tecna products at EquestrianCollections.com. Just search for Tecna, T-E-K-N-A, at EquestrianCollections.com. One of these years, Helena, we're going to get out there and spend time with all the roses and the pretty flowers in Pasadena and spend New Year's together.
We will. I'm just amazed that a whole year has gone by since we promised ourselves we would do that this year.
That's true. That is true.
We're like, next year we'll have plenty of time to do it. Well, God, we're totally going to be out there in Pasadena. And here we are just a couple of weeks away.
I mean, it's not like we don't have an invitation. We have no excuse. I mean,
no, we really don't.
We know every group that's in the parade pretty much. And, they would love us to come out and be there. We're just going to have to take the time and effort to do it, I guess.
Do we know anybody in Pasadena that we could stay with?
Yes, actually, we do. Key. It's right down the street from Norco. And we know a bunch of people in Norco.
Well, then why don't we just go?
I know. It's just, again, it's the time and, the holidays and all that stuff. So, all right. Well, we're just going to have to do it. We're just going to have to do it one of these days.
One of these days, like he's bailing out already. Oh!
Well, right after this, these commercials, we are coming back here with somebody who is going this year, and her name is Terry Jenkins. She is the captain of the Canadian Cowgirls, and she's also Marshal of the unit. I have to ask her, because I think you have to be a marshal if you're in a parade, if you're the head of it, not just a captain. So she probably got promoted. But we're going to talk to them about their first time in the Rose Bowl Parade. Well, hi, Terry, and welcome back to the show.
Howdy, Glenn. Howdy, Helena. It's great to be a Canadian cowgirl coming to the Tournament of Roses parade.
I'll tell you what, when did you guys, we talked to you earlier this year. We had seen you at a show doing your performance, and we said, we got to get them on. When did you decide that you wanted to do this?
Well, this has been on our bucket list since we started our group 10 years ago. And fortunately, we have got the credentials behind us and our community behind us so that we can afford, for one, to travel the 4,000 kilometers to get there.
Ooh.
And secondly, the opportunity to be invited to the Tournament of Roses Parade. So we're very, very honored and very excited about it.
Obviously, you're from Eastern Canada.
We're from, we're an hour from Detroit, Michigan.
That is a long drive. Pam said you're bringing your horses, too.
Pardon me?
Pam said you're bringing your horses that whole way?
Absolutely. We're bringing 18 horses and 23 crew. That will be our riders and our ground crew.
That's awesome. That's a good crew to horse ratio. I like that. Individualized attention. Although when you're bringing that many horses that far, they need individualized attention.
That's right. We're going to have a four-day journey. We allowed for five, but we'll have a four-day journey, and we leave on the 19th of December. So we'll be trekking south to California on the 19th, and hopefully the weather will hold for us. We don't have any snow up here in Canada just yet, but and we hope that it follows the nice sunny shine will follow us all the way to California.
You guys put on a terrific show. As I said, we got to see you in a show, and that's how we got in touch with you.
What
are you allowed to do in the parade and not allowed to do in parade? You're a drill team, obviously, so it's, you know, you're limited space, and you have to keep moving. So what can you do?
Well, the wonderful part about the Tournament of Roses parade is that they recognize that they have to keep the parade moving for the television audience because of the time frame, of course, with the television networks. So what they have done is put on a show called Equest Fest. So that gives all the equestrian units an opportunity to show what they do when they're not parading. So for us, what we'll have is my Golden Palomino will be leading the group. And then we have seven hippodrome riders. And a hippodrome rider is a person that stands on horseback and salutes the crowd. And then our other riders will be in formation behind.
For 5 miles down the parade, they're going to be standing?
For 5 miles.
2 hours?
They've been practicing. They've been practicing.
There you go, Alina. You want to get in shape? That'll do it.
Yeah, no kidding.
So we've been doing a lot of practicing in parade formation. We have a set amount of space that they allow us, and we've been down to a logistics meeting, so we've got to see where all our horses are going to be stabled and where are at the LA Equestrian Center, and then, of course, the parade route and the hospitality that was offered us by the tournament committee was incredible. So we're very, very welcome, and now we kind of have an idea where everything's going to be.
Very cool. That is very cool. Now, how are you paying for this? Are you fundraising?
Oh my goodness, you would not believe our fundraising efforts. First of all, we had this garage sale. Now, you take 23 women, and they all empty their closets. And we had this garage sale in the indoor arena here at TJ Stables in Canada. We had over 1,000 people at our yard sale. We made $12,000.
What?
On this yard sale. And
wow.
I mean, people came running.
What were you selling?
Yeah, that's my question.
Everything. Everything from toilet bowl covers to saddles and everything in between, and we just had a ball. And birdhouses, cookie jars. Oh my God, we had 700 cookie jars somebody donated to us to sell. We had so much stuff, and people were running from a quarter mile away, running up the road like it was like you see in the movies. It was it was like Black Friday all over again. But we just had a wonderful time at the yard sale and made people aware, and our community has been behind us. We are selling roses, and for $10, someone can purchase a rose in honor or memory of someone, and that rose will be placed on our horses in the parade. So we've done very well with that. Of course, we do a lot of shows, so we did promotion at every show. And this year we were at a major show here in Canada called the Royal Winter Fair.
Oh, yeah, and that's the show in Canada.
That is the elite show here in Canada. And so we just basically put our hats out, and we raised $7,000 just with nickels and dimes and quarters, people dropping their change, their loose change, into our hats. So they've really, you know, everyone is so excited to have the representation from Canada in the parade. And, you know, we're just backyard girls and ordinary girls and you with ordinary horses. And then when you put us all together, we do extraordinary things. And included in those things over the years has been the Kentucky Derby Parade. We won Best Mounted Entry in that parade for 2 years in a row. And we performed for Prince Charles and the Duchess Camilla. We were on, we won the Calgary Stampede Parade and the Indy 500 Parade. So we've been throughout North America carrying the Canadian flag and building our credentials to get the invitation to come to the Tournament of Roses Parade.
And this is the first time, too, at the Tournament of Roses Parade that we're going to have, they've been in a number of years, the All-American Cowgirl Chicks, along with the Canadian Cowgirls.
That's right. And at Equest Fest, I think what we're going to try and do is there's several drill teams in the parade. We're going to try and do a grand entry that will include all four drill teams. So it should be something very spectacular.
Oh, cool.
Yes, very excited about that. And getting to work with Trish Lynn and her group of All-American Cowgirl Chicks, because we're kind of the Canadian version. We're a little bit
you actually
a little
I think
bit red
have
and
more,
white.
You have more you have more people in the team, I think, than
yeah.
Than,
our group's
than Trish
a little
does.
Larger, but yeah. We all this is our hobby. Where we all have full-time jobs in school, so this is our hobby. So everyone's leaving their family at the holiday season and coming to California and going to have a great time.
And of course, Pam was just telling us that, you know, and we knew this from doing the show for so long, that you guys are going to be getting there the night before. You line up on the street and you wait all night until 3 or 4 in the morning when they start rousting you into line. So it's a 48-hour endeavor.
This is going to be one of the most memorable occasions for us because of the organization of this. This is one of the best organized parades we've ever been to. And by staying overnight, but just adds to the camaraderie, and everybody's going to be, you know, like, geez, it's 3 o'clock in the morning and we're up here getting our horses ready, but at least there's not going to be snow on the ground.
That's true.
and
we hope no
we're
rain.
Really excited
we no
about
rain.
That. Very much excited about it. And we're bringing the sunshine. We're not going to have rain down there. We've already ordered the good weather.
Or sunshine.
And apparently no ale. You're not allowed to drink on the road
no,
waiting.
No, that's just fine because okay. Canadian cowgirls, a lot of our riders are... well, that's her focus. It's the horses. So that's not going to bother us because we have a lot of fun wherever we go. We don't need any of that.
Yeah, you guys do.
They live on the edge enough. They're cowgirls.
That's right.
They don't need to add to the mix. The degree of difficulty of riding in the Rose Parade is enough, Glenn.
Well, we've had a lot of community support to get there, and we had to raise $92,000.
Wow.
And
wow.
We still have about $1,200 left to go. So, you know, we go to our website, CanadianCowgirls.com, and there's a donate button if you want to help us. But after the Royal Winter Fair, we got a call from a gentleman in Texas, and he had seen it live stream, and he sent, he said, I'm your neighbor. We live in Texas, and we really enjoyed your show at the Royal Winter Fair, and I'm a Vietnam vet, and the tribute you did to the veterans and their families, he said, I'd like to contribute $100 for you to come to the Tournament of Roses parade. So, you know, we have just been so grateful for all the generosity of the community to get us there, and they really recognize that we're just ordinary folk trying to do extraordinary things.
Well, that's fabulous. And, well, we wish you guys are going to have a blast. I know from meeting you before that you're all going to have a whole lot of fun with this. You've got 5 miles to show off in front of your biggest audience ever.
That's awesome.
And a gracious audience. The American people are so, so kind. Whenever we go to the U.S., we get standing ovations wherever we go, and we love to perform in the U.S., and we love the American audience. So we're neighbors, as this gentleman from Texas said, and we want to be part of one of the most spectacular parades in the world, and that would be right there at Pasadena on New Year's Day.
Well, we're going to look forward to watching on TV and seeing all those maple leaves go down the street.
Oh, wonderful. Well, we've got lots of them. Thank you so much, and happy trails to you.
Thank you, Terry.
Thanks.
Well, it sounds like they're very excited to go out there and march down. They have to get up so early. I mean, they had spent all night on the street pretty much getting ready for this. It is a huge endeavor because they have to get all those groups and floats and those huge floats together. So it's a very big deal to get this all together and get out there and actually do the parade. They must be exhausted by the time they're done with the parade.
Yeah. we're talking to thousands of horse people who get up every weekend.
That's true. At the crack of dawn.
Yeah, that's true. And then sit around, especially those hunter shows where you just sit around all day.
That's true.
In the cold, in like November, when it's unseasonably cold. And all the walk trotters went at 9, and you're waiting for the 2-6ers to go at 4.
That's true.
can't possibly have one more cup of coffee.
That's true. That's where five-hour energy drinks come in.
Anybody want to know what I did last weekend? So the Rose Parade in Pasadena is looking pretty good right now.
And you know what the other good thing about it is when you watch it on TV and watch it on HGTV is there's no commercials and they show you the parade. I hate watching the Macy's Parade anymore where all they show is the Broadway shows and them singing and dancing and they don't show you any of the parade. And it's like, well, this one, they show you the entire parade and they talk about the flowers and the horse units and everything. And I would say the one place they're a little lacking in their coverage is their knowledge of the horse units. So I'm going to write to them and say next year you have to bring Helene and I out to talk about the horse units because obviously they don't have it down.
No.
We would do it much better.
Well, absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
No
well,
question.
Yeah.
We could say, look at those pretty Arabs.
We could say, look at those pretty... No, we could say, look at those pretty Arabs go. That's what makes us special.
That's right. Well, let's go into our Tack and Habit segment right now, brought to you by Fleeceworks.
Fleeceworks manufactures pure Australian merino sheepskin and merino wool saddle pads and accessories. Their pads produce a vital thermal balancing layer to pull excess moisture and heat away from the horse's back, allowing muscles to work at maximum capacity without overheating. Fleeceworks Australian Merino wool is breathable and hydrophilic, able to hold and store 35% of its own weight in liquid. A longtime staple of the medical field, Australian Merino fibers have no equal when it comes to delivering a temperature-controlled, pressure-absorbing layer. The Fleeceworks philosophy, minimum bulk, maximum performance. And they have a variety of anatomically correct pads incorporating technologies and designs that address the individual needs of every horse and rider. Ask for Fleeceworks saddle pads and accessories by name at your local tack and feed store or visit them online at fleeceworks.com.
And for today's Tack and Habits segment, I'm going to talk about, well, Glenn and I are both going to talk about because we have experience with these things. It's a new horse treat. Well, it's not new. It's new to us, but it's our new favorite horse treat. And I'm going to tell you why they're our favorites. First of all, they're called stud muffins and they are handmade. They're 100% handmade and they have really cool stuff in them like flaxseed, cane molasses, oats, corn, barley, all that really good stuff. And They're sort of mushy, would you say, Glenn? They're not hard. They're not cookie-like, but they're also not like spongy mushy. Like some horse treats can be really spongy.
They're firm.
They're firm, but
like
they're
any
just,
stud should be.
But,
oh my god!
Serenity now.
Sorry.
Oh my god, Glenn! I need to go away. I need to go. I'm in my office, like in my little office. By myself, my face is bright red.
Couldn't resist. Sorry.
You couldn't. Oh,
do I have to beat myself there?
You're going to get coal in your stocking for Christmas. This is a PG-rated show. Now it's PG-13. Stud muffins, horse treats. I mean, they had to know that there was going to be some conversation around the name.
She did. I talked to her. She knew.
All right. So anyway, they're really good. So they're full of good stuff. They're homemade, which is one of my favorite things. And they come in all different kinds of sizes. So if you want like just a few treats, you can get the smaller size. But if you have like, you know, a barn full of 50 horses or something, then you get the big 60-ounce bucket. blah, blah, blah. But they're firm, but you can break them up into pieces. So I would say they're probably...
You want to. They're a pretty good size little cake there. Yeah.
They are. Yeah. That's a good word for them, cakes. But you can still... They're soft enough where you can hide tablets in them. Right? Nice.
Yep.
Eating like little of this, little of that. And you can break them up. Like I break them up into quarter sizes. So, and I use them for training.
Well, and the other neat thing about these is, well, the thing that is absolutely essential about these is we have not found a horse. Not a horse. You know how some horses will eat carrots, some will eat apples, some will eat some treats and not other treats. We haven't found a horse that won't eat these things. I mean, this
no.
is... Jamie, my co-host on the morning show, calls them crack for horses.
Pony crack, yeah.
Yeah, because they just love these things. They really, really do. It's good stuff. You have to almost be careful. Have you found that? Beaker gets a little lippy when you get stud muffins within 10 feet of him.
Since I introduced stud muffins to my horses, Brody will come. He'll beeline to you when you go into the barnyard and begin to pocket surf. He didn't have that habit. And I had given him other treats. He never had that until I introduced him to stud muffins.
Yeah, they love these things.
He'll look under my sleeve. Like, he doesn't just go for the pockets. He's like, what's under your sleeve? Is it in the hood? I want to check your socks. I know you have them in here somewhere. It's crazy. They really do love them.
This is the Godiva chocolate of horse treats.
Yes, that's a good analogy.
It really is. I mean, it's the Godiva chocolate of horse treats. I know, now I'm making you hungry. But it really does. They really are neat. And you know what's cool this year? And this is the reason it was our Tack and Habit pick, is that they have a couple of Christmas things out this year. And you could find them at your local tack shop. I saw them at our tack shop when we were there over the weekend. Is they have the candy canes that you've seen before, full of stud muffins. But this year, new, they have this musical tack trunk. Did you get one of those?
No.
This is cool. It's a box. It looks like a little box, and it's called the Music Tack Trunk. And when you open it, it's great to give as gifts. When you open it up, they have written their own version of the 12 Days of Christmas about stud muffins. And it plays when you open the lid. It's really like a terrific gift. They're $19.95. You can find them at any tack shop right now or online. Just look for Stud Muffins Musical Tack Trunk. And they're full of stud muffins, but when you open it up, it plays the music. And you know what? That's just kind of cool for a gift.
Yeah.
And as I said,
I like that idea.
They wrote the song, and the lady who started Stud Muffins, her sister recorded it. So it's her sister singing.
Huh.
It's pretty neat. Yeah. I love these things. A horse loves these things. We haven't found a horse yet. Jamie from the morning show does work with the prison out there, because the prison is the one that gets the horses that have been repossessed in the county, and the prisoners take care of them.
Yeah.
And she brought, Stud Muffins actually sent her a case of these to bring out to the prison, and she said 25 horses there, she didn't find one that didn't like them. Even the picky ones would eat them. So they were all happy. They're all happy to see her come now.
Pocket surfing, happy horses. So I'm definitely going to recommend stud muffins again. They have, this is one of my favorite things, is that they have such a variety of sizes and containers. I know it's like, some people are like, oh, what's the big deal? But really, like, especially if you have limited space in your barn or you have a shelf of a particular size, you know, and they also have plastic bags that come in resealable. Like, you can get a plastic pouch full of them that are resealable.
Now, yes, I do like the resealable part. And Jennifer actually keeps hers in the refrigerator. I don't know if you would have to. But down here it's so warm that, you know, we've kept them in the refrigerator. They do have a contest, by the way, going right now. And what it is, the grand prize, get this, Helena, is going to be a year's supply, 4 90-ounce bags. They're going to be sent in 3 increments over the year. That's a total of 12 90-ounce bags of stud muffin. That's a lot. It's $450 value.
Wow.
And they're going to have 2 runners-up that are going to get $150 worth of stud muffins each. And what they're going to be doing is they're going to be judging the best pick stories or videos of horses loving stud muffins so much that they deserve to be the ultimate stud muffin. So aww. If you think your horse is the ultimate stud muffin and he does, you know, maybe you get him to do tricks with stud muffins, or he'll come roaring over, or whatever thing that's around a stud muffin, if you send a video or a story or pictures in to the stud muffin people, that you could be entered to win this contest where you're going to get a whole lot of stud muffins for over a year period of time. Your horses will love you for it. So you can find them on Facebook. Just look up stud muffins on Facebook, and after you get through all the pictures of guys with no clothes, you'll find a horse treat.
It's true. I know. Be careful. I just did that. I'm like, Glenn, I need my notes, you know, for talking about today's tech and hybrid product. So I couldn't find them because, of course, I'm always a hot mess on Wednesdays, which is when we record for Fridays. Okay. So I type in stud muffins. What an idiot who types in stud muffins and thinks that she's going to get horse treats as a result. I was like, Glenn's like, did you find it? I'm like, what? Huh? Oh, yeah.
She was distracted. Well, maybe that's it. You can find them at any tack shop, pretty much has them, or online. But thank you, Helena, for bringing that up. Something we take for granted that we use it here every day at the farm.
Wow.
So that, well, you know, this has been fun. I can't wait. You know, every year, Jennifer and I, we tape the parade, and then we watch it a little later in the day, and then watch a little football and fall asleep. But we always watch the parade first.
I always watch it live. You watch it later in the day?
Yeah, we watch it a little bit delayed, I think, because we won't have to this year. We always had horses we had to take care of, or Jennifer wanted to go riding, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
It starts at first thing in the morning, I believe.
Yeah, but it's in California. First thing in the morning for them
and
is not first thing in the morning for us. It's like 10 o'clock, right? 9, 10 o'clock.
I was thinking that. Because
she said they start lining the horses up on the parade route at like 6 a.m.
At 3 in the morning. And she said here.
No, it's at 6 a.m.
It actually starts at 8 a.m.
At 8 a.m. our time?
Yeah. So it's early. And then she wanted me to remind everybody that on RFD TV, Equifest Live is on December the 29th from 12 to 2 Pacific time.
That's the big event right before the parade,
correct.
The night before.
So that's like 3 to 5 Eastern time, Equifest Live on RFD TV. So that's on the 29th.
Okay.
So that's when that's happening. But we've run out of time for today. Thank you so much, Helena. And you enjoy your warm weather up there.
I will. It's like spring over here. We're happy. Grass is green. Horses are happy. But still, it's no Ocala. But
can I put a plug in real quick before we go for our friend Templeton Thompson?
Of course, with my favorite holiday song.
Well, your favorite holiday song now has a video. Go to Stable Scoop's Facebook page, and you'll see the video that Templeton put to your favorite holiday song. So you'll find that at Stable Scoop. And what's your favorite holiday song for everybody?
Happy ye holidays.
She has a terrific video. They just came out with it this morning. So you'll find it at our Facebook page. Just look for Stable Scoop and you'll see her video. You're going to love it.
I watched it already.
Did you? Puts you in the mood, doesn't it?
Oh my God. We've been listening to it since like, I don't know, July. That's one song that we listen to all year round, but she has a couple of other holiday songs as well. And so the minute December comes around, we play that stuff like nonstop.
Well, we're going to play one of those holiday songs for you from Templeton Thompson. You can buy all of her music at templetonthompson.com. We'll talk to you again next week. Let's hear a little holiday music from Tempe.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Of yours. faithful friends who are dear to us, gather near to us once more. Through the years, we all will be together if the fates align. If the fates align.